This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Darius Thomas.
It just depends on how you look at life, right?
And Brock Rahm.
Yeah, you're really missing out on the hat game here, Darius.
Humble beginnings. One may think that with a meteoric rise to success, that humbleness would go out the window. Not for Corey Easley, who's found a way to remain humble, hungry, and constantly eager to learn every step of the way. Now, a video producer for William Morris Endeavor Sports Division, working with some of the top athletes around the world, Corey still finds a way to humble himself and never be afraid to hone his craft and learn from his peers. And we can go to time. That is.
Yep. Let's clap at 22.
22. That was loud, but great.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Black History Month. This month, we will be spotlighting four Black creatives, and our first guest of the month is Corey Easley, a video producer at William Morris Endeavor Sports Division. Corey, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you guys for having me. Excited to be here.
So, Corey, talk about how you got into the creative business and talk about your journey of getting here to WME Sports.
I'm Corey from Columbus, Ohio, born and raised, Buckeye at heart, you know, in the great state of Ohio. How I kind of started in creative, I actually was in music first. Went to school at Capital University for, what was it called at the time? I think it was called music technology. So I was doing like live studio recordings and all that type of deal. It was really, really cool. And I was having fun with it, but not a lot of people in my field were graduating and like getting jobs. So I'm like, you know, I got to think of a backup plan if this doesn't work. And took a couple of internships with the radio station. And my good friend and mentor, Yavis Ellis, he was running the radio station at the time. And he put a camera in my hand. And I would do interviews for like different artists that came in. And I was like, man, this is pretty cool. Doing that for a little bit, I switched my major over to electronic media and film. Was running track at Capital University as well, so I was really heavy into sports. Once I graduated, I was like, man, how can I just stay in sports, but also do what I love, which was film at the time. Yeah, man, just started taking internships, doing a lot of freelance stuff. Worked with some big companies, worked with some guys at Ohio State that were playing at the time, and they would let me come in and kind of build my portfolio. And after that, Liberty University hit me up. They seen some of my work and they told me to apply, and I applied. And I think that was one of the best things for my career because I actually was able to learn how to be a pro in the space, like learn how to set up shoots, tear down shoots, how to articulate and actually get the best out of my athletes that I were working with. It was really, really cool. And I kind of had a niche for doing sports, and people kind of said I was really, really good. And so I kind of studied like Nike and Adidas and Converse, like how they kind of did things. And I would do a lot of the intro videos for the sports teams at Liberty. It was really, really cool. And then Tennessee kind of recruited me, see my work, and was like, hey, how about you come over here and start helping us rebuild our brand with the new coaching staff and everything. And was there for a little bit, for about a year before they got really, really good, but was there to lay down the groundwork and have fun with that. And yeah, kind of hit the ball off running. And Zach Schwartz from WME, who was at Ohio State, because Ohio State was always my dream job at the time, just to get on the football team and do creative work for them. But he ended up going to WME Sports, and he kind of hit me up and was like, hey, we have a position open. And I was kind of hesitant to take it because as soon as I was about to take it, Ohio State hit me up, which was my dream job. Kind of turned them down because I was tired of college football after 1 year, and went with WME Sports and never looked back.
The way that we met was through a mutual industry young gun in the making, Alex Grant, showed me your work.
Yeah.
A fellow frat brother of both of us.
It's my
guy. The one thing that stuck out initially was your emulation of some Nike content that you were doing while you were at Liberty. And that was one of the things that stuck out, was that a school like Liberty, who outside looking in would say, hey, they probably don't have a lot of resources, and you were able to do some really cool, amazing stuff. But talk about what you were doing in that, you know, 6 or so months, I think, was before you went to Tennessee, to kind of build your portfolio from Liberty to get to Tennessee.
Honestly, I was just really doing a lot of intro videos, and a lot of the athletes on campus would start to recognize me and like notice my work. I would just ask athletes like, hey, you want to shoot like a spec ad or something like that? Just something nice that I can just put on my portfolio, but also it would enhance their brand and stuff like that. And this is like way before NIL. So we would come up with like concepts and themes and all that type of stuff, and the stuff that they wanted to implement and how they wanted to be seen at the end of the day. I did a few. I did one with the track team. I did one with the soccer team as well. A couple guys on the basketball team. And people started really gravitating to it, and I started getting a lot of notice when it came to it. And ultimately, I think we knocked it out of the park. It was really, really cool. So, so in between that 6 months, Tennessee, seeing that type of stuff, they reached out, and I accepted the job and went there.
And coming from a small school, you're kind of like in the Wild West, being able to do like some high-level stuff and just being able to, you know, fail if you need to. It's not that many people there with like it is when you go to Tennessee. How awesome was that for you to be able to just build a brand for yourself and for a school at the same time, and do it at such a escalated level that quick?
Honestly, man, it was really my team. Like they kind of pushed me to be great, you know. My team at Liberty, bro, some of the best people I've ever been around, just as people, but also like creatives. Like, man, you got like Tyler Penrod, you got like Rachel, you got Jared, like all these people were like super pros at what they did. And man, they were just, they were amazing. Like they gave me the tools of like just how to be a professional, and then just using my talent and honestly what God gave me to put things at the forefront, it kind of just speak for itself. Like it just took it and ran with it. So yeah, man, my team was just, man, they were amazing. And like they set the bar so high, and it was just like, man, like I gotta be at their level, you know? So that's kind of what it was in a nutshell. Like I was able to just get with those people and learn from them and take from them and kind of enhance my skills and just grow, you know?
It's interesting to hear your background and that you started in music. I don't think I've ever heard of music technology as a major, but we have a couple arguments.
I know, I was missing out. That sounded right up my alley.
Yeah, right. Totally.
I started out in music too, but I was a music major, not music tech. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty cool.
Brock is has talked about having made his own and remixing his own music for some commercials, spots and different things on other episodes. I'm just curious if there's any ways that you see that background helping you today in what you do as a video producer, or if you've done anything cool that kind of helps set you apart as far as like audio wise with your video work.
No, absolutely. When it comes down, well, nowadays, when it comes down to it, audio plays a major factor when it comes to like spec ads and everything that you do as far as like making your video come alive. Yeah, so like when it comes to like mixing like various sounds within certain aspects of the video, oh, it was a huge blessing, man. Like just learning that type of stuff. Like when I am like mixing in headphones, like I know how to mix through that, but I can also mix like throughout the speaker. So like it's a different perspective with everything. And then when it comes to like just audio and capturing audio, live audio throughout like my shoot, man, like I know how to, where the camera's supposed to be. I know how to get like 3-point like audio and all that type of stuff, just to put it in a dope perspective and make it seem grand. But also there's times where I take like some of my audio and I put it in like Pro Tools or Logic, you know, just enhance it and make it seem grand. Like I'll take a music video or like a song or something like that, and then I'll like remix it within like Logic or remix it in like Reason or something like that, and then like add different elements and different tools and different sounds and make it really, really dope, you know. I actually learned that through one of my friends from Liberty. His name is Isaac Brenny, and he's like a master at that. And it's just, it can take one thing. Well, it could take a plan and like a decision that you want to make within the song, and it can take it to the next level if you really just put the time and the effort into it, as far as like just learning your craft. So yeah, it was really, really dope.
You talked about intro videos and kind of your process on it a little bit. Are you somebody who starts with a piece of music in mind, or do you start with a concept in mind and then find the music to fit later? Like, do you go into a shoot for an intro video with music already picked out, or are you doing that on the backside?
Absolutely. Especially like with the basketball teams and like the swimming promo that I did for Liberty. Like, I knew what I wanted to do as soon as I heard the song, you know? And then it was like different breakdowns within the song, and I kind of started editing within my head. And so I was able to like jot the type of stuff that I wanted to do down at this part of the song, you know? So I kind of break it up in sections, because like you got an intro, a middle, and then you got like a climax within the song. And I kind of did it step by step that way. And yeah, that's kind of what I normally do. Like, so while I'm shooting, I'm playing the song constantly, like over and over, so I know what I want to do next.
To kind of further on that, talk about the process of now at WME as opposed to when you're at Liberty or at Tennessee. Are you incorporating not only the music aspect of it, does it help you in like storyboarding? Are you doing any storyboard? How are you preparing to get to shoot day?
It's a little different. So at Liberty, we planned out a lot of stuff. We storyboarded a lot of stuff, like, because we had a lot of like big shoots. It wasn't just necessarily like social. So when I got to Tennessee and WME, it was a little bit of that at Tennessee, because like I would have to plan like the intro shoot for the team, but also I have to do like a trailer and all that type of stuff. So yeah, you kind of plan those things out. But once I got to WME, a lot of it is just like straight social for our clients, for like our pro athletes. And you don't do it as much, like you can, but you really don't have to. And so I kind of, I wing a lot of my work at WME. Like, I just come up with stuff on the spot. And then like I'll take a song and then like, I'll add to it and put pieces here and pieces there. But it was more so like at Liberty, where I really had to just like sit down and plan like what audio I wanted to use, what shots I wanted to use, like close-ups, like middle shots, like far away, all that type of stuff. So, but it all coincides, you know, like once you like get, like say if I have to do a bigger shoot at WME, like I know how to do that type of stuff, you know, so it all coincides.
And how much have you ever produced any original music with that background?
Yeah, I have like, man, I have like a whole vault of like beats, you know, that I used to create like way back when. And like sometimes I'll use them in songs and like videos and things of that nature. But yeah, I got like a whole vault. Like if I really want to get down to it, like if I want to create like from scratch, if I really wanted to.
So this is honestly one of my favorite times of year, being able to spotlight not just Black History Month, but being able to put spotlight on producers or graphic designers, content creators who the world may not know of. So what is something about Corey that the world should know that we maybe can't find on your LinkedIn profile or Twitter or Instagram?
I would say I'm very intuitive. Like I really like sit and like think things through before I actually do it, and like I put time and effort into the thought of like what I really want to do before I actually act. And then like I like to sit and learn, you know, like in every situation, like in every opportunity as well, like, man, you learn something, you know. And I like to play chess too, like if people don't know, like I play chess day in and day out. Like I'll be online just playing chess, calculating my next move and having fun with just like random strangers, man, just beating them in every chess game that I play possible. So yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things, man. I'm just very intuitive and very passionate, man. Like chess is my thing.
Take us through like what a typical, you know, day or week is like for you at WME.
Oh man, it's a lot. Mondays, meetings, man. Like just at least by like 5 or 6 meetings with our different clients, agencies and things of that nature, just planning out what we want to do throughout the week and what content pieces we want to put together. Like we work with a lot of like high profile clients, like NBA rookies, NFL rookies, people like Sabrina Ionescu all the way to like Kylian Mbappe. Like we work with people from all over. Yeah, so we just plan those things out on Monday, and then throughout the week, we, like, execute. I know working with Zach Schwartz, man, we plan everything from a T, you know, like, from what we shoot, from what we edit, to what we are going to do next, like, our travel to different shoots and everything. Like, we just put everything step by step to where it's all cohesive and we kind of nail those things out on Monday. And then throughout the week, we execute. Sometimes I'm traveling, sometimes I'm not. I know like this next month, I'll be going like every weekend. So just for a shoot or some type of event we have clients at. So it's a lot, but it varies. Like we go to different places, we go to different areas throughout the country and we create content. And it's never like just, this is what the plan is this week. We kind of just discuss what our week is going to be like, but it also can change and vary throughout the week.
Do you do any international travel then? You just named off like Kylian Mbappe is obviously over in Europe playing soccer. You have local or stateside rookies in NBA, NFL. How much are you on the road? And does that mean you're also creating and turning content around while on the road? Or you talked a lot about the planning aspect of it. You're planning a lot to capture what you need, and then you bring it back and then work on it at your home base. How does that work?
Like I said, it varies. No, I have not been out of the country yet with a client, but if we need to get somebody captured, we'll probably hire a freelancer over that way. Like we'll get in touch with some people and make sure we can get a freelancer out there to cover that aspect. Or there may be opportunities coming up to where we can go to those places and capture content. But when we're on the road and we're capturing content, we can either edit it there or take it back to our hub when we get back to our respective houses and we edit from there. Like a lot of my team, we work remote. So it's either we go there, capture our content, do what little we can, and then when we get back to our respective areas, like we knock out the bigger pieces of content. So it really just varies, but there is a lot of content coming in and there's a lot of content going out. So it never stops, never stops.
And talk about the difference in this role as opposed to your last two of being on campus, being in the fire every single day and going to games live and having to turn around stuff quicker. What's the difference in being a video producer for WME Sports as opposed to at Liberty or University of Tennessee?
It's not much of a difference. It's less games, not as much games, but when we go to games, with WME, we're going to like the bigger games. We're going to like the championship. We're going to college football playoff. We're going to Big 12 championship. We're going to all those type of things. So we're covering content for those schools and for those entities. So like the college football playoff, the Big 12, all that type of deal. So we're still going to places, but like it's less than what it was at like Tennessee. Like I would be on the road every other weekend during the football season for Tennessee. You know, and working in the Power Five, like it taught me kind of how to be a dog when it came to like creating content and like being in the fire, you know, because working in Tennessee, man, like me and my guy, Trey Morton, we were on the clock like every day. Like we would get there at 7, probably wouldn't leave till like 10, and we're just churning out content like all day, every day. So it kind of varied at different places. Like it was a normal like 9 to 5 at Liberty, but at Tennessee, it was kind of just like, I'm in football and I'm on a coach's schedule and I just got to create to basically survive, if that makes sense. But yeah, it was fun. Like, man, it taught me a lot of aspects of being a creative. Like sometimes like your workload is robust. Sometimes it can be moderate and then sometimes it can kind of be sporadic to where I'm at with WME. But at the end of the day, it's still something that I'm passionate about and it's something that I love to do. And yeah, it was definitely a fun experience.
In this year of being with WME, what's been probably one of your favorite projects or athletes to work with since you've been there?
Probably Chet Holmgren. Reason why I say Chet is because one, like he's, man, such a down-to-earth dude, like super chill, super relaxed. Like when I first met him, like we went out and got Chinese food. You know, and like I was just like super cool and I got to know him and like we would hang out like during the draft and all that type of stuff. And honestly, man, he's a creative in his own mind as well. Like when I'll do like content for him, like we'll have like weekly content chats and things of that nature. But he'll have ideas and he'll be like, man, I want this part to go here. I want that part to go there. And then like, can you help me out with the edit and all that type of stuff? And man, just like seeing athletes take initiative for the type of content that they want to put out, I think that's really, really dope, man. Man, like most, like I work with a lot of like high profile athletes, but like when it comes to him, he like knows what he wants and we help him get it done and it's easier and it's smoother on us. So yeah, it would have to be Chet.
I wanted to ask you about, you had mentioned how much time you spent in the office churning out content. I'm curious what your mindset is when it comes to, okay, it's time to publish this. How do you know when you're at that point where, okay, this is done enough to get it out versus, oh, I want to keep working on this or I can make this part better? How do you approach that?
Honestly, so people used to say I used to have a problem with like deadlines. I don't think that's necessarily the truth. I think for me, like when it's perfect and it's ready to go out, that's when it's ready to go out. Like, because if I give it to you ahead of time, you're going to have a million edits. And like me, I try to edit to where I know what this person's already going to say. So I want to have this minimal amount of like edits that I have to do to get it out before I get it out and then go from there. So for me, it's really like, I know when it's time to go out, when I know it's dope, you know? Like, if I know it's not finished, like, I'll know within my heart it's not finished. But when I know that it is like, hey, this is, don't add nothing else to it, this is it, boom, just put it up. It really just comes down to, like, perspective with different creatives, so.
Justin kind of talked about being tedious and having that bandwidth to be able to do that. Do you have more time now to be a little bit more tedious as opposed to when you were at Tennessee or Liberty, or is it about the same?
Yes and no. I would say at Tennessee, man, it was just, you needed it. Like, they would come up with an idea or something that they wanted, and then we just needed to do it, like, right then and there, you know? So there was not much leisure time to, like, balance edits and things of that nature. Like, you just had to work simultaneously. Like, it was times where I would have to work on multiple projects in one day, so I would, like, have a three hour block on this edit and then a 3 hour block on the next edit and then try to wrap up the next one at the end of the day. But when it comes to like WME, like I kind of like plan out when things need to be due. And what we kind of do is we try to make sure everything is done by the end of the week, even if we have like 7 or 8 edits. So I'll try to like make sure I have deadlines by, like, I'll try to put deadlines on myself. Like, I try to make sure some things are done by Monday, some things are done by Thursday, and then I'm trying to wrap everything up by Friday, you know? So it really just depends. Like, it's two different entities. Like, with Tennessee, it was just all the time, cranking out hundreds of videos, and then what's next on the docket, you know? Because it never stops. It's college football. But with WME, like, me and Zach, we try to prioritize our time and try to make sure that we're doing everything that is necessary, everything that is basically prominent in that time frame, and then try to wrap up like all our loose ends at the end of the week.
So what size of team are you working at on the creative side of WME? Is it how many video producers are there? How are you splitting roles? How many people are you collaborating with on a day-to-day basis?
Right now, our team is fairly small. WME Sports, like as far as like the sports side of things, like we really didn't kick off until like 3 or 4 years ago. Right now it's just me and Zach on the video, Zach Schwartz, and then you have Will and Joe who handle all graphics, and then we have two content managers, so they basically post everything, and then we have an analytics person as well, and then we have our team lead, which is Tom. His name is Tom Brady. Not that Tom Brady, but his name is Tom Brady.
Wait, is that the Tom Brady who used to run digital at the league in the NFL? I know that Tom Brady very well.
That Tom Brady, yeah.
Because when I was in the NFL, Tom Brady was in the NFL, and he always had to say, I'm not that Tom Brady, but I am in the NFL.
Yeah. Same.
Yep, absolutely. That is him. Great guy. That's kind of our team in a nutshell, but we do a lot of dope work, man, and wouldn't trade them for anything.
So how do you find that working on what I assume was a bigger team at UT? You know, you probably kind of your career, you know, staff and collaboration wise probably kind of went like this, right? You've kind of seen all sides of it. Which do you prefer? Do you like kind of the bigger D1 atmosphere as far as it goes, collaboration, or do you like the smaller team atmosphere you get at a place like WME?
Well, it was kind of flip-flop. Tennessee was a smaller team. It was just me and another guy at the time.
Interesting.
Our creative director, she ended up leaving and got a job at the Panthers. So me and him, we kind of had to run the show when it came to like graphics and video. And we kind of relied on each other, man. Like, he's actually one of my closest friends now. He's actually my roommate. So it was kind of me and him at the time being. And honestly, running a brand for the Power Five, man, it was some times that it kind of really weighed us down and it got to us. But at the end of the day, like, we knew it was fun. Like, it was going to be brighter on the other side. Like, what Tennessee as a program is doing now, we kind of take solace to that, because like, we were there to like lay down the groundwork. And now that they have like a full creative staff and are doing really, really dope stuff, like, we can say like, we were the pioneers of that, you know? And that's kind of all the solace that we need. But like, going to like Liberty and like working at WME, like, I have a team of like 7 or 8, you know? At Liberty, I had like a full team. Like, that full staff was just videographers. So it was about like 8 of us. So we could like share work. And then at WME, with it just being us two, and we're actually getting ready to like add on different like entities and people to our staff. It's kind of like, in a nutshell, kind of like Tennessee, but not so much, because like, one, we kind of balance our work a little bit more, and like, the demand isn't as crazy. But you're still working with a team, and then I'm working with one of the best in the game, in Zach Schwartz. So I'm learning so much while like doing so much. And so it really just depends. Like, at Tennessee, it was crazy and it was a lot of work. But at WME, it's different. Like, you learn to have fun with it. Like, I know how to be in that fire working at Tennessee. So
you talked about your love of playing chess. What are some other things that you do outside of your day-to-day work that help ease your mind or help you to kind of inspire you to create? What are some things you like to do outside of that?
It's a few things. Like, I love going to the movies. Like, I'll go to the movies by myself. Like, I'll see about like 3 or 4 movies a week, you know? Sometimes I'll see movies twice, and it's a problem at this point, the amount of time that I go to the movies. I also like play ball with my friends, and like work out, and like hike and travel and visit my friends. And sometimes even do freelance projects. Like, I haven't told too many people this, but I'm actually like looking to take up acting a little bit, you know, take acting classes and have fun with that. So, man, I'm always into something. Like, but for the most part, like, I love spending time with my family and friends, and like watching movies and just having a good time, and like having that camaraderie and that that family time, man. That's big for me.
Let's talk about the CFP. You just got back from that. You've worked the CFP twice. Talk about that experience and how that has kind of, did it energize you to be around a litany of other creatives from around the country?
Absolutely. To,
you know,
absolutely,
that you work with every day. Talk about that whole experience and how they set those teams up to bring in. How many people are they bringing in for that thing? Because it seems like maybe like 50 people are working the CFP at one time. So
the CFP was cool, man. It was dope. Like, just being in that atmosphere, really, really cool. So I actually wasn't working necessarily for the CFP, but I was working, like, the first time I went, I was working for the DJ. His name is DJ Bandcamp, one of the best DJs in the game. But just covering his experience. But in that, like, I was able to connect with a lot of like team leads for the CFP, and they just started getting familiar with my face and following each other on social media and all that type of stuff. Man, it was cool. Just like seeing all those dope creatives that you hear about, like on Instagram and Twitter and all that type of stuff, and seeing them all in one place creating dope work and having like one mission to make sure the CFP is branded well. I think it was super, super dope. Like, I met guys like, I think it's like the Let It Fly Media guys. Like, they were super, super dope. A couple guys from like Liberty that were there, man. And just a plethora of like young creatives, like interns who were honestly just taking the CFP and running with it, man. Like, some of the creativity that they put out there was just amazing. But having a chance to like create on my own and like being in that atmosphere, man, it's second to none, to be honest. Ohio State should have been there, but second to none, to be honest.
Now that you're kind of on the other side and not working on campus, I know we probably, sounds like every sentence is starting with that. getting a chance to enjoy it from the other side and the outside. You're going to games, whether it's basketball, football, whatever. How fun is that for you to be able to just sit and enjoy it and not work in that environment?
It's cool, man, especially this last year with Tennessee football. Like, knowing all the guys on the team and, like, knowing all the coaches and, like, seeing, like, where we came from, like, when I was working for Tennessee, and to see, like, where they're at now, it's a blessing, man. It's humbling. Like, being able to just be a fan and, like, root for them, like, you kind of, like, feel what the Tennessee experience is. Like, I get it from both aspects, like, working for the team, but also just being a fan and saying, like, hey, like, go Big Orange. Like, this is really what it is. Like, that Alabama game and that Florida game, like, it was insane just being on those sidelines and, like, soaking in that energy and, like, running on the field after the game and, like, seeing them tear down the goalposts and, like, carry it to the river, like, all that type of stuff, man. It was just, it's a blessing being on the other side, because you honestly, like, get to see, one, like, the work that was put in, but also, like, just to be a fan, man. And I love seeing, like, the people that I used to work with actually, like, really stick to their craft and, like, really grow, you know, like those guys over at Tennessee football, like, they're doing some of the most creative stuff I've ever seen in college football athletics when it comes to, like, content. And that comes from, like, the graphics, that comes from, like, the videos, like, to the interns, to, like, the team lead over there. Like, man, it's just, it's a blessing being able to see it from a different lens, you know.
Who are some creatives that kind of inspire you, whether people you've worked with or people you've just seen around the industry? Who do you look to for inspiration or just enjoy their work?
It's a lot of guys, man. I would say one of my favorites, even like we haven't met yet, I would say Andre Robinson. Andre, he's when he was at O State, he was like the cream of the crop for me. Like, when we were back home, we were like, always look at the videos. We couldn't wait till, like, the next video that dropped. Yeah, so I would say him, man. Definitely, like, Trey Morton on the graphic side, probably one of the best graphic designers I know. Evan at Tennessee, man, he's a beast. Noah Hartford at Tennessee, he's a beast. Luke at Tennessee, dope.
So a lot of Tennessee inspiration, yeah, here.
A lot of Tennessee, man. Josh, I would say Josh too at North Carolina. Zach Schwartz, definitely. Like, he's one of the cream of the crop for me. All my guys at Liberty. Like, it's too many to count, man. Like, it's like I like to give everybody their praise, but yeah. And then, man, you know, my OG Darius, you know, like, gotta give him praise. So yeah.
Advice for younger creatives. Are you finding more time to be able to mentor or kind of give? I mean, you've been in the game for long enough to be able to, you know, pass some stuff back.
Yeah.
How do you kind of approach that, and what's some advice that you give to younger creatives?
First and foremost, man, like, come in with a willingness to learn. Like, don't come in too geeked up and hot-headed and, like, eager to do X, Y, Z. Just, like, be there and try to learn first, you know, because, like, there's people that have been there before me who had to humble me, you know? So yeah, just come in humble, but also, like, kind of don't see your work as just a commodity, you know? Like, see it as hieroglyphics, you know? Because at the end of the day, like, this is the work that you're putting out in, like, what, 5 or 6 to 10 years from now. Like, you want people to be like, hey, like, this is the guy that put out XYZ. Like, he's consistent within his work. He's super good. He's growing. And yeah, man, just be humble and honestly soak in every moment when it comes to being a creative, because you don't know if this will be your last, like, you don't know what opportunities will come next. You don't know if this will be your last opportunity to do XYZ or if you'll grow. And honestly, don't be that person on Twitter. Please do not be that person on Twitter. Like, I don't care for what it is. Like, don't be that person on Twitter that is trending within the creative department, because I promise you, everybody gonna know, you know? So yeah, that's the biggest thing for me, man. So, and just have that willingness to tell other people's stories, just because that at the end of the day, that's what creativity is, you know? Especially as a creative in sports, you're always telling somebody else's story. So just have that willingness, that servitude, and yeah, take it and run with it. Have fun.
Last year, you did a project at Tennessee for Black History Month. Talk about that project, and were you happy with the outcome, or did you want to do more? kind of talk about what went into all that.
That was really, really cool. So the project basically was we were having our team meeting, and I remember like bringing up something about frats, and then our assistant AD, she reached out to me and was like, hey, like we should do something with the African-American frats on campus with our student athletes. And being that I actually am a African-American Greek, Alpha Phi Alpha, shout out to the guys. I was reluctant to be able to pull off something like that. We had like three guys on the team, and we just basically talked about what NPHC meant to them. And like their different orgs and fraternities, like they just basically talked about why it hit home. And I thought it was really, really cool because there was one instance where guys were like wear colors and like people didn't understand what those colors and like those letters meant. And even our head coach at the time, like he didn't understand like what some of that meant. And, you know, head coaches, like they don't want anything to take away from the team. So he wasn't too big on it. And like our mission at Tennessee football at the time was fast, fun, real. And the real aspect for me was like allowing those guys to rep those colors and do their dances on the field and like throw up their sign and all that type of stuff because it was real to them. So being able to do that project and basically like saying like, hey, this is why we do X, Y, Z. This is why it hits home for me. I think Tennessee seen that and like the guys were able to like wear their colors and like represent themselves and like their respective fraternities and sororities and things of that nature. So, man, it was really, really cool because I was able to give like a different aspect of what real was for Tennessee football. So,
well, thank you, Corey, for joining the show and sharing your journey with us from your humble beginnings to WME Sports. We wish you the best of luck moving forward. As I stated before, we will be highlighting four Black creatives during the month of February for Black History Month. So be sure to tune in every week, every Monday, for the Creative Sports Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the sports creative community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.